All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I was spending some time on eBay, and you can find lots of things, by which you don't mean a lot of thing, but just buy this mystery box and see what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got this. Let's see if there's a game inside.
Oh, nice. I love a lot.
Yeah. So we're going to pop this open. Oh, it stinks.
It does stink. That's the gamble.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of things stink that you get for in a lot.
Okay, so mostly are these little piles of shit? Oh, they're meatballs. No, okay. Oh. They're just a bunch of fake meatballs. Okay.
They smell horrible.
Yeah. Some wigs. I don't know. They're 50. Okay, it's marked here. It says 50. 50 Stanza brand fedoras.
Did you get quality on the bid? Because otherwise, you should walk.
And I mean, they seemed pretty desperate. They set they set the reserve price pretty low. I think it didn't work. I don't know what to make of this. There's a name on the inside of one of the brims on these Stanzos. Muggsy. Some guy named Muggsy wore this.
Muggsy underscore 69 underscore footlover on eBay.
Game computer. Apparently there's a game called Muggsy.
And it's not the little mug fella that jumps over things and shoots and fights cartoons.
What?
Is that the name of the Cuphead's friend? Isn't he Muggsy?
I don't know.
Oh, I think Cuphead has a friend named Muggsy. He has a girlfriend now, too. In case you haven't checked his Facebook.
Okay, cool.
There's a lady Cuphead now, too.
I was really rooting for Cuphead.
Yeah.
Good for them.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to After Suffering, the show where we correct Kelsey Grammer's grammar. Today, we're covering Cheers, Season 5, Episode 4, Abnormal Psychology.
It's funny they should talk about grammar because this is a linguistic
feat. The
game
doesn't have it.
It doesn't. I don't speak any language so good. Yeah.
Ain't got nothing. Got nothing to do with grandma. The anti-Italian American Defamation League is knocking on the door right now. They've swatted us for doing this show.
Yep. We're talking about a series of games, although I've probably titled this after the funnier one, which is the sequel, Muggsy's Revenge. But you can buy this on Steam with the original Muggsy. These are some organized crime simulator games that came out in the early to mid 80s for the ZX Spectrum, baby.
Yeah. And there's something... If this were a little bit more parsable, like this is cool.
I like this. This is fine.
Yeah. It's got like kind of Rockstar, you know, like that game that we did.
Yeah.
Like quite a bit appeal to it. You know, like a sim, a gangster, like a prohibition gangster sim is a cool idea.
It is, you know, I like that the little arcade mini game is there, not as the main feature, but if you fail. Okay, this is your chance to make up for bad management decisions that you made.
Fight your way out of hell.
Yeah. And I like that they're both different. These are different games. I mean, it's a similar idea. You're doing management stuff, but in Muggsy 1, you're doing protection rackets, and in Muggsy 2, you're running rum.
I also like that this is a Commodore 64 ZX Spectrum era game, so it's doing that thing that old PC games used to do where every scene gets drawn in real time. I find that effect incredibly charming and relaxing. I really love it.
You see the outline and I'm like, okay, what? I have no idea what this is going to be, and then it starts filling in with the different dithering patterns.
It's kind of a fun guess game. And something about how watching it drawn on the screen, the first screen in Muggsy's Revenge, which is a car, it's drawn in a way that does the headlight first in a way that made me think that was a figure.
Same.
If you look at the first screen of this, it looks like a horrifying clock man.
Yep.
Like a horrible gangster clock man leaning on a wall. It's being like, okay, boss, the cops are on to us. And it was like, what time crime lieutenant am I, like, you know, Joey the alarm clock, you know, Muggsy am I dealing with?
I don't know, you boss. Know? Do we got to go that hard?
Snooze him, boss. Yeah.
Yeah. It's no, a, just it took me. I had to see that scene get drawn 3-4 times before I realized there was perspective to where you like you're seeing one of the headlights and part of the grill of this, you know, old hoopty. Is it just like a gangster car, right? Yeah. In front of one of these businesses. Yeah.
It's great. I love how it looks.
Yep.
Like pretty into this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got a very confusing, you can play it with a joystick, but it has a text parser in it that even, so you can buy this on Steam and just play it, you know, quote unquote updated or whatever.
Yeah.
The text parser is pretty tricky. I had to press everything twice for some reason, and it was really confusing.
It was I pressed the letter five, the number five, and then that says, okay, you're ready to press five now. Press five.
Yeah, you have to prime it. You have to get a little warning there. And at first, I kept messing it up. I was trying to type like words or sentences, like a text adventure. Mm-hmm. And the horrible clock lieutenant was just like, boss, I don't understand you. And that kept happening.
Yep.
And I was like, this is like a real weird classics of game thing. Like this horrible clock gangster that's helping me run rum doesn't understand anything I say. Like, do I understand it and it doesn't understand me? Uh-huh. Am I playing this game from the perspective of rum? Like, am I the idea of crime? And we don't understand each other because I'm not a person.
The concept of crime is made in stars in this game.
Yeah, it's the clock lieutenant and the concept of crime in Rum Running Adventures with Muggsy's Revenge.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's not a lot of tread on these tires because once you figure out like kind of the order of magnitude, like you play it's done in rounds, and each round is a year, and it's like it's sticking to the Prohibition one. It's like, okay, here's how much money we have. How many barrels do you want brought in from Canada? But there are all of these like knock-on expenses, right? That'll be your overhead in addition to the variable cost to buy and then like the variable price that you would sell. And like after the first couple of rounds, you can turn your profits into buying speakeasies. I don't know if there's any speakeasy on top of that, but like once you figure out that like, okay, my bribe to the police, like it's gotta be, you know, about like 20% of the amount of like the value of the rum that I'm buying, right? Stuff like that. Once you figure out the order of magnitude and how many steps there are, it's not that hard of a game to chance out outside of any random events. So like Rockstar
events,
like Rockstar, this ends up being Rockstar ate my hamster or whatever, like that, this just kind of ends up being a differently themed version of Lemonade Stand, and that's fine because Lemonade Stand is a good game.
I would have enjoyed this if I got it on my ZX Spectrum back in the day.
Yeah.
Melbourne House, Publisher. I would have enjoyed this.
Yes.
You know, it came out for the low price of $8.95.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just there's nothing but love in my heart for Muggsy's Revenge.
Yeah.
How did this come to us?
So this was a Cole Jam.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
How did it come to you?
Oh, I follow that 6-second game trailer account when new stuff is added to Steam, and I saw a game that looked like this called Muggsy's Revenge, and I was like, oh, we can probably do something with that.
I got to learn more about Muggsy.
I do.
I really love that on the Wikipedia for this, the only C also is history of video games. Like whatever else you can say about Muggsy's Revenge, it does exist within the history of video games.
somebody just wrote out and misspelled the word shrug.
Yeah, it's real Mumford Trending with Sons shit. See, also history of video games will do.
Oh man. So I also, I didn't expect this to be good. So yeah, we don't have an awful lot of like, I can't clown on this. the language in it's real funny because it's like, this is offensive to somebody, but they're writing it in the voice of the wise guy, you know, like, hey boss, we got them. Like, it's just, it is written fully in the patois.
Yeah. Of Italian American gangster.
Yeah.
Folks, you know, which are in the category of bosses it's okay to do.
Right.
Yeah, or voices, not bosses. Uh-huh. Some of them are bosses. But you can, mm-hmm, you can do a gangster voice. We're allowed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's doing that. But there's something about I can imagine feeling maybe a little bit different if I was Italian.
Uh-huh.
It's you know, it goes pretty hard.
It really, really does. Yeah. It's really, you know. Is there anything here? The idea that all of our concepts of what a gangster voice is, it is just Edgar G. Robinson.
Yeah,
that's weird. Like,
hey, everyone, or you know, the little bit of people do Joe Pesci and Goodfellas.
Oh yeah, yeah. You I know, think that
Goodfellas made a big impact with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Huh. But it's just funny, like how one actor's choice to portray a particular kind of character can be applied. And now if somebody says talk like a gangster, you're going to go, wah!
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's 50-50. You know, I bet you that's a generation thing. I bet you
maybe
kids these days are not going to go, see, like, I bet you that will go away.
Yeah.
I'm going to, the next time I'm hanging out with my kids who have friends.
Okay. My friends who have kids. You said you're my kids who have friends.
No, I know. I'm just chewing on that for a second. Yeah. I didn't say that, didn't I?
Yeah,
my friends who have kids. Next time I'm hanging out with those kids, I'm going to ask them like to do a gangster voice and see what they do.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're probably, nobody cares about me. It's gonna be like, all right.
Yeah.
Gangsters are interesting.
I'm curious how much the idea of the Italian, of the Cosa Nostra has, like, how, you know, I don't see a lot of pop culture, but like how much of that is actually, you know, because we grew up with everything, because everything that we watch was derived from just media from the 30s to the 70s.
Yeah.
You know,
the same, like, set of movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think kids won't know about it. I think they'll be like, what the hell is that? Kick me in the balls, and then do a Roblox voice as I bleed out. Like, I can only imagine that being the end result.
Yeah, yeah, they'll do a Fortnite dance and then just obliterate just me with a comic.
Yeah, teabag me into death, like
fly away like Goku.
So I stay teabagged. Yeah, it's you know, yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah,
I have a series of digressionary ideas and things.
Okay,
that I can bring to this episode if we need to, and we can see if any of them stick.
Okay.
You know, is this a, you know, do you have anything that you want to bring to the table that's not Muggsy related? Because there's really nothing Muggsy. Like, it is good, and it is,
it's gangsters. All that I have right now is, I want your advice. Okay. This is homeowner related, but I think that it is a pain that is going to be pretty familiar to everybody. Okay. I got people on Facebook Marketplace really dicking me around.
Interesting. Okay.
Tell me
what happened. I've had some experience with Facebook Marketplace. Uh-huh. So not a homeowner, but I've certainly sold and bought things on there.
Yeah. See also Craigslist, any of these things. All right. Last week I had a tree in front of my house cut down. Okay. Tree cut down. It was, you know, mostly dead inside. Just like its owner. Yeah. You know, it was fun. The company brought out a big, it was like a bomb diffusing robot. But it was one of those, but with a buzzsaw in order to grind the stump down.
They brought out a battle bot.
They brought out a battle bot.
Is that where battle bots go when they retire?
Yep.
Gotta get a job somehow.
Yeah, no, like, but it was a big battle bot that this guy was using just a straight up remote control, to grind the stump. What?
Oh, why wouldn't he just do it by a handheld battle bot, like a tool?
I don't know. With
maybe a face shield of some kind.
No, he was just, he was standing 10 feet away from it, controlling it like he was the guy from Mythbusters inventing the wedge bot. Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So That was fun to watch. And just a gigantic buzzsaw ripping up half my lawn. Like, fuck yeah. But they cut it down. And then I asked him, so what are you going to do with the wood? And it was like, oh, that's your problem. I was like, what? So I've got a whole ass tree sitting on my lawn. Okay. Talk to Chris. He says, hey, list this on Craigslist. About this time, people are always looking for firewood. You know, like people who heat their house with wood burning stoves or just looking to sell it, they go and buy this shit. Okay.
And wood is more valuable than gold right now. Like supply chain shit has made wood. Like this is unprocessed wood, but wood is very valuable right now for some reason.
Yeah. So instead of paying, $200 to have this wood hauled away, I can have somebody come and just take it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
and I get people biting and I get people saying, oh yeah, I'll be out tonight, cause I've got a whole ass tree laying on my front lawn. At the end of this cul-de-sac being a huge eyesore, and then night comes and nobody comes
and takes the tree.
And I text them like, hey, you planning to come? And like, oh, my trailer's full. And it's like, oh, you said you'd come tonight. Like, oh, I'll be back. I'm going on a week of this tree being here. And like, I decided to cut bait with the first person and I started off with a second person thinking, okay, first person, that was a flake. Second person did the exact same thing. I'm starting up with a third person. And they're saying like, can you be here at this particular time? But also it's dependent on this. Like, I can't give this thing away for free. I got all this fucking wood.
Yeah. My genuine advice for things like this, as somebody who has given away things on Nextdoor or Facebook Marketplace or anything like that.
Okay. All right.
Is throw your honor in the trash.
Okay.
Stop like holding it for people. Put it up as free first come, first serve.
Uh-huh.
And I know it sounds like you're setting up an appointment, like you want to be there for it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be there. Just say come take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just once it's done, take down the ad.
Yeah.
That way it's opening up to it's up longer, so it's more likely somebody will bite.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, they can walk into the yard and take, is it in your backyard or front yard?
Front yard. It's there for anybody who wants it. Yeah.
Yeah. They can just grab it. They don't, you can just see them and just like give them a thumbs up out the window.
Uh-huh.
Or be asleep.
Yes.
And that's fine.
And I can wake up and so I can't be asleep because I cannot stress this enough, Gary. It is a whole ass tree.
Yeah, it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
But you can say, like, you'll wake up, but then you can give them a thumbs up and be like, you don't need a hand, do you? Like, something very discouraging.
Yeah.
And then just let them take it. But yeah, when I have given things away, I want to do a nice thing. So I'll be like, if you want this thing, let me know. Mm-hmm. And then I go into this back and forth with them and they flake because it's no skin off their scrot.
Yeah.
You got to just let it free for all.
Okay.
Come and get it, boys. Yeah. Chums in the water. Ding, ding, ding. drink the milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
Sup upon my treely dick dong. Go, mulch it.
Yeah. take this thing. I really don't care what you do with it.
I'm gonna fly again. Be so free.
That is good advice. And the second the person was like, oh, I really want it, but I can't come. Like I really should have made it first come, first serve. Yeah, okay.
It's okay. I have the same impulse you do. Yeah. You just can't do that with the public because it's what something awful would call an everything nothing.
Oh yeah.
To you, it means a lot to get this tree out and you're doing them a favor. To them, it's like, I could probably use this tree. It's free. I could cancel plans though.
Yeah.
You don't exist to them and that's okay. You shouldn't exist to them. Yeah. So you have to let them not exist to you.
Okay. Good advice. Good advice.
My digression also involved buying something from Craigslist, but was quite a bit more positive.
Okay. Well, tell me.
I got my security deposit back from my old apartment.
Cool.
So a lump sum of cash, and I wanted to give myself a treat.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on Craigslist and was looking for things. And there's some searches I do on Craigslist kind of generally. So I look for old arcade machines, like stuff that I've always kind of wanted, you know? But one of the things is I always look up Dungeons and Dragons because I like old D&D stuff. In Portland proper, people know the value of that stuff. So it's not very fun, but it searches surrounding areas as well.
Yeah.
I bought a 200 issue lot of Dragon magazine.
Holy shit.
That turned out to be like issues like 40 through like 280. Like in the end,
wow,
or something like that.
Okay,
you know, for well less than a buck a magazine. So it was still a chunk of money, but a big collection of this thing. And it was really delightful. We went down to Newburgh, which is like a little town in Oregon, like about 45 minutes away. Absolutely fucking crawling with teens, more than I've ever seen in my life. Like, there were roving gangs of teens, and you could watch them meet the same intersection. And like
it was Teen Town. Like,
it was absolute fucking Teen Town. Incredible Teen Town energy. But this lady who had like all these free range roosters and a big nice old dog had recently bought a hoarder, or not recently, a long time ago, bought a hoarder house.
Okay.
And she bought what would be like a dream hoarder house for me. And she's like, yeah, this is the one of the thing I'm going to move. I'm moving to Uruguay. This is the last thing I have to get rid of. I tried to get more money from it and I couldn't. So I'm just selling them for cheap now, just selling the whole thing in bulk.
Yeah.
But she was describing this hoarder house and it was all like Shangri-La Gary shit. Plus Star Wars stuff, which I don't care about.
Right, but right.
Like, you know, somebody who's collected Dragon Magazine, who is a hoarder, from 1983 to like 1993.
Right. So like fucking boom times. Yeah. Yeah.
I was salivating, like thinking about what it had, like, and just how not like tragic. It's just, because I ended up benefiting from this, but just this idea of like, if I had stumbled upon that, and again, that everything, nothing feeling like to her, she's like, here's a bunch of nerd garbage I'm going to struggle to sell.
Yeah.
I don't want. And I would have been like, fucking jackpot. I'm going to spend a long time looking through this stuff and find tons of things that I like and want to keep.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. And also I was just like, oh man, like that's really cool. Do you have anything else? She's like, no, I've sold everything else. This is the last thing. And I was like heartbroken because what I wanted it to be is one of those things. You're like, yeah, let's jump in the truck and go over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
if this is a problem, I think I can solve it for you.
Yeah. I'll give you a couple $100 for some time alone in this house. Like didn't happen, but I did get this like good deal and got this interesting story. And it made me think, me and Liv went, and she's like, oh, I've always wanted to buy a storage unit. And I'm like, you know what? Me too. And we're heading towards this dink life where we spend disposable income on stuff that we just think is fun because we're not going to have kids.
Right.
Let's do that at some point.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's fun. Maybe we'll get something cool. Maybe we'll get a shitty armoire. I don't know.
So you're talking about doing the Storage Wars thing. Like let's rent and go in on a storage unit together for all of our extra shit.
Take the plunge, baby.
Cool.
It's romantic. Doing a Storage Wars thing.
Gotcha. Okay. So
that'll be a fun. This is me throwing a grenade into the future of abject suffering. Someday I'll be able to talk about my experience dealing with, I can only assume, the carny Americans who run the storage unit selling game.
Right.
You know, the Jim Varney from The Simpsons is going to just run some kind of game on me.
Yeah.
You know,
they only label the bucket barf to keep thieves away.
Exactly. It just be caramel. And it's my caramel because I'll get whatever's in the mystery hole. You know,
I got to tell you, this sounds like an amazing, like a great deal. Right. For you. Right. Because this is just infinite things for you to, you know, browse through. Like, yes. I would recommend you get like a scanner or some kind of document camera. You know, do shares on that. I think that'd be pretty fun. You know,
there's a lot of really like just pretty amazing art.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just amazing. If this was the last thing that she sold, that implies that it was like probably one of the least appealing of them.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Like, how much better stuff did you miss out on?
I know.
Right.
And it doesn't have too much. I was looking, I was like, oh, you know, I want this to use it. But if there's anything here that's worth actual money, you know, it's the first mention of the Forgotten Realms or something like that. Like, I would want it. You know, I'd want to know about it so I could sell it. I wouldn't want it probably because I can get that shit digitally or scan it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to physically own something that's worth real money. If this paid for itself, that'd be great. And I was looking and it's like, with work, it could probably pay for itself. There are doubles in there, and I have a modest collection of Dragon magazines
already,
like, you know, there's some double business and stuff. I could get a discount on this. It's whether I feel like doing that labor or whether I feel like having five big boxes of browsables
right.
my whole life.
Yeah. The other thing that occurred to me, other than just kind of the fun FOMO of like, oh man, what else was there? Is like, ah, oh, fuck, this is what my family's going to have to do when I die.
No family.
Just like Chris, you know, if I die before Chris, it's like, okay, like, you know, if I croaked right now on Mike, somebody's going to have to sell all my fucking berserks, you know? Yeah.
I mean, they're going to end up in a mulch pile. Like we solved the second half of this episode in the first half.
We did.
You put up a free, just take them. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Thing. Or you go to any store, they'll buy them for pennies on the dollar and you can get rid of them all at once.
Yeah.
I think about that though too. Like, and it's a good thing. I don't really appreciably have family. Like I'm old. I'm going to do a will at some point. Right. And I think that if it's easy to stipulate, I'm going to say, my friends and loved ones can come if they want. Mm-hmm. They can take anything that they want.
Yeah.
And anything they don't want can just be given to a Goodwill.
Yeah.
The end. You know, I don't think I need anything more than that.
Right. Just mulch it and turn it into, you know, padding for playgrounds. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. But I've got my, you know, decade and a half of EGM, my decade of Game Pro. Yeah. You know, just all the nonsense that I have. So like I had like a I don't know, just a weird little glimpse into my future with that.
Yeah, I love that. I love how ephemeral magazines are.
Mm-hmm.
Like picking these up and flipping through them, I'm just like, oh, this is, you know, content, for lack of a better word. Like,
yeah,
this is artistry, this is game people design whole games, people designed like kits and classes and monsters. It's before most of these predate Dungeon Magazine.
Oh,
so,
wow.
A lot of them have a module in
Ooh,
them.
Neat.
And many of them had never been reprinted. Hmm. It's ephemeral content. It's stuff that people put a lot of work and love into that would just go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like holding on to that. I like really like getting a hold of that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it feels good. It feels unique in a world. Like it is the value that things can have in a post scarcity entertainment economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where like I just have access to all TV shows and all movies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be things that are rarer than that and that I didn't know about.
Yeah, it has to be stuff that was like that was never intended to stick around.
Yeah, or if it would be made now, it would be. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the time we just didn't think that was going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so heartbreak. It makes me want a time machine more than like most things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I had a time machine, like lots of things I would do, the mistakes I would unmake, I'd go spend time with my mom, all these things. But one of the things I'd also love to do is go to any of these conventions that are advertised in the back of this with like $200.
Yeah.
And just buy the world. Like, I know because this is part of the Cross Swords saga that I'm in. Like, that has only been a couple episodes ago, but I'm in that kind of mood right now where I'm reckoning with the fact that like I have modest tastes. I feel comfortable with the amount that I give back. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to buy myself like a yacht or anything, but that it's okay for me to buy parts of my childhood.
Yeah.
Again, that I'll get joy out of. Like it is okay for me to buy joy.
Yeah. And this, I mean, this is also like peace of mind brought about by the fact that you're in a little bit more of a stable living situation right
now. Yes. Like I could potentially live here for a little bit so I can collect some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I might be starting a phase of my life where it's okay to own a thing, you know, in a real sense and being like, what are the things? And then also a time where I've stopped self-hating over, you know, I never was like really bad about it, but there was always a tiny little voice in my head that was calling myself pathetic for buying something that I liked as a kid, you know, just because I liked it as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that time travel feeling that I talk about, that's very valuable. Like seeing an ad that I did not, you know, that I haven't thought about in 30 years is really cool. It's a feeling I like chasing. But I always had a little contempt for myself because I'm like, oh man, you haven't even watched The Leftovers. You haven't watched The Americans. What are you doing with this stuff? And my long journey of letting myself off the hook for things that make me happy, like realizing what relaxation can mean to me. And having that be okay. It's really, I feel like I've arrived in a new level at it where it's like, it's okay to blow, you know, hundo, you know, blow what would be tons of money to me another time in my life. Every once in a while as a treat, it's okay.
You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Nothing bad happens.
Yeah. And you know, you got a little trip, you got a story, No, oh, it's all good.
It was real fun. Went to, you know, ate some like amazing homemade ice cream.
Ooh.
You know, walked around various shops, which were fine. Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy. There, we did get to go into antique stores, and of course, like, we had the tiny racist figurines.
Cool.
I'm always amazed that, like, for a long time, it was just a thing to have a little doll of a black person.
Yeah, no,
just like that, like, was it.
Like, it was an oddity. Like, look at this little guy.
This was my curiosity cabinet.
Imagine a person like this.
Yeah, just absolutely wretched. You know, but it was a fun, real fun day.
Nice.
Walk around and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Great time. It was a great weekend. Did that that night. I watched Total Recall again. I haven't watched Total Recall in a very long time. That movie stands up really well. That is a really well-made, like, interesting, well-plotted, well-paced movie with really good action. Very hilarious. Like, it's funny on purpose, but the ways it's funny are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does the cab blow up? The use case for this cab, if you refuse to pay your fare, the cab blows up.
That seems like it would be a net negative for the company.
You
would, like,
think so, you know? Yeah. It's such a good little moment. Everything in that movie blows up if everything isn't exactly right. Like, the absolutely mind-blowing, perfect recreation head, you know, the 2 weeks head
that he wears.
him not saying 2 weeks, or saying it like once it says three times, this does turn into a bomb.
Downside, you're gonna have to deal with that.
the first time I'd seen it since I realized that Hank Schrader was in it, uh-huh. It's a early Dean Morris role.
Yep,
Dean Norris, you know, sucks gifts himself. And then the next day we went out for breakfast and there was a street fair, which was kind of crappy but was fun to walk through.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because street fairs kind of suck. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of like cultural appropriation and people, banks. They have an appealing wheel you get to spin, but it's for bank shit.
Yeah.
You know?
No. But wonderful. Yeah. No, we're entering street fair season here in my region. Got all the festivals and stuff. So that'll be
like fun. That shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have is there a local one that, cause I've talked about my hometown Cornfest, which is going on last weekend. Like, I missed mm-hmm. Cornfest. What is the one for where you're at?
The one for where we're at. And I forget if I've talked about this on this show before, but it's called the Pickle Run.
Okay. I'm sure you have.
Yeah, there is. So it's not even like the Pickle Festival. It's called the Pickle Run because there's some kind of weird marathon that's associated with it. Strange thing. My town, no real pickles in its history at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Just think they're neat.
Nope. We just think they're neat. Yeah. There is no consistent story about why this is. Like, some people talked about, like, oh, this guy had too many pickles, so he dumped them in the Sandusky River, and every year on that day we make this run. And it's like, yeah, it makes no sense. They don't really even serve pickles. Like, it's not like all the people with their pickle recipes come by and set up their stands to deal with it. There's no pickle contest. There's no anything. It is just the pickle run.
It is named after a pickle. Like, you might name a dog pickle, even though the dog has nothing to do with being a pickle.
Right. Like, oh, if you named a dachshund a pickle, like, that'd be pretty, you know, pretty fun. No, this isn't a dachshund named after pickles. Yeah. And we're surrounded. Like, we have ones that make more sense. Like, over in Bucyrus, they've got the Bratwurst Festival, you know, a big pork town. Yeah. They've got their own kind of bratwurst they make over there. It's the bratwurst. That makes sense. Another nearby town, it's the Popcorn Festival. Okay, you know, lots of corn around here. That's fine. It's just this weird little town that I didn't grow up in, but just grew up near. It always had the pickle run.
It's not even about, like, whether the food object has to do with the area. It could just mm-hmm. be a celebration of the food object.
It can.
Yeah. The fact that the pickle run doesn't really serve pickles is the weirdest part of it.
Right.
Like, it's not really pickle focused. Because mm-hmm. I go to a pickle fest.
Yeah.
Sounds good as hell. Uh-huh. Like, you join forces and fight against the kimchi. I would fight for the kimchi probably, but like the ferment versus the pickle,
you know,
rivalry, like the pickle camp and the ferment camp.
Uh-huh.
You know, the weird Ludafisk guys across the lake. Like, you could do a whole mini series about that.
You really can. Just all the different, all the different preservation techniques that have come up. Yeah.
They call me salt beef. You know, I'm Scrawd.
jerky.
Yeah, just jerky. Pokemon.
Yeah. Snacks. It combines a snack with a snack. But instead, it just named that.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful lame.
It is incredibly lame. It really is. Yeah.
It's a bummer.
So, it's
I bet it's still fun to go to.
Oh, it's fine. You know? You get to walk around. Some of the local merchants, they get the fair food. You know, mm-hmm. some of the fry places, they actually sell the hand cut fries, not just the bad frozen shoestring ones. You know,
love a hand cut fry.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm we're a week out of me turning my birthday, basically, turning the big 4-2, and I'm going to embrace like a lot of lame old man shit this year. Like, I know I've been on that journey for a little bit, but I think I'm going to enter a new apex of like embracing lame old man shit.
Oh yeah. No,
it's going to be great.
It's like when I said on Twitter, like I've settled into a moment where I'm just like treasuring opportunities to get new jams, spreads and syrups.
When we were here, we went to a cheese place. I bought some artisanal, pimento cheese and a baguette for us to, while we watched Total Recall, eating a fresh baguette. Mm-hmm. With artisanal pimento cheese, like, is there anything better?
Wonderful. Like, they call it caviar of the south.
Yeah, it was an amazing evening, and I'm just like, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is bad. Yep. If I had children, they would die from climate change. I don't, though, so I'm gonna get in my pimentos while I can.
Yeah,
and read my Dragon magazines and just, you know, do good and try to make the people around me happy, but I'm also gonna just try to grab some happiness, you know.
Yeah,
this is fucking pleasant.
The Chapo guys call that getting grill pilled. Getting grill pilled.
Yeah. Absolutely grill pilled. You know, it's a great feeling. Hill pilled, grill pilled. It's a good year for pills and me. And I just really, really embracing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love it. Feels great.
Yeah.
A bunch of stuff just none of my business.
It's none of.
I don't need that.
Yeah. You know? I'll do the good I can.
Yeah, but you know, going out and like, it's my birthday, I should get really drunk. I don't think I'd have that good of a time doing that. What if instead of that, I went to bed at 10:30, played around a Monster Train, and then fell asleep while reading Wikipedias?
Yeah.
You know?
And my question would be, how is that different than any other night? And you would say, exactly.
Exactly. It's awesome, man. Embrace the absolute fucking lame wad inside you.
Oh, my God. Well, I say this an awful lot. Like, it just, you know, just talking to somebody I haven't seen in a while. Like, how are things going? Oh, it's boring. You know, stay in the course. Yeah. And like, I'm not saying that as like a negative thing. Boring is such a luxury. Yeah. How much of a luxury is it to just for things to be boring? You know?
Indoors rocks. Indoors rocks. good duck food t-shirt.
Yeah.
I found a Wikipedia. So as a white male podcaster, I'm slowly turning into a white lady podcaster, by which I mean getting into true crime and serial killers.
Okay.
And I found a new one. Fucking fascinating. This German guy who was obsessed with Celtic death rituals.
Okay.
Which he was a necrologist. Like, he studied death rituals, which, like, one fucking awesome job.
Yeah.
Necrologist. The Celts believe that if you slept on a grave, the spirits could talk to you. He started doing that, believed that the spirits of children were talking to him, but he found, and this ties into what we're talking about, not just because I was reading it in bed,
but also
he found sleeping on the ground too uncomfortable for his old man body.
Okay.
That his solution, because he wanted to sleep in a bed, highly relatable. That's me for real.
Oh no. He dug them up and put them under the bed.
He dug them up, dressed them in human clothes, gave them waxen masks, and posed them around his house doing children things, sang songs, and taught them.
He taught them?
He did like school stuff with them. All of his friends and family knew he had them, but thought he had made life-size dolls, when in fact they were waxen masks corpses that were telling him they didn't want to be in the grave anymore because they were cold, and he believed eventually he'd be able to bring them back to life.
Oh my
God. None of those
God.
Parts are the parts that I relate to. The part that I relate to is like, I don't want to sleep on the ground. Like, do that. That's, like, hell yeah, dude. See, I just want to sleep in his bed. King.
That I can't decide if that, you know, obviously when we don't want to be ableist here, I can't decide if that firms up or complicates the insanity defense.
It is pretty he because really was
like, I'm gonna do like some of the wildest shit imaginable, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it in such a way that I don't sacrifice my personal comfort.
It just sucks if I don't sleep. I can't dig up corpses and turn recently dead children into horrible parodies of life.
Yeah.
And then try to teach them things while they talk to me and beg to be brought back to life.
Yeah.
I can't do it if I don't get my Z's. Don't even ask me to dig up a grave before I've had my coffee.
Yeah.
You know? just incredible stuff. You know, yeah. And you just get incredible stuff from fucking normcore living.
You do?
You know? Like stuff like that. You know? It's great.
It's pretty upsetting.
There's video of it. It happened recently enough that there's video of the cops going in there.
Oh, God.
And it's not gross, but it is exceedingly cursed. If you ever need a quick cortisol injection, like, it is a good way to feel real stressed real quick. But if I'm reading about it, like, words don't touch me.
True.
Yeah, you know, I'm just like reading about it before bed, and I'm like, you know, so dissociated. I'm just like, yeah, man, that's fucked up. I love sleeping in bed too. And then I just go to bed. Like, what a weirdo. And then I go to sleep, have pleasant dreams.
I think this guy, comma,
until I fall asleep.
For real.
Then I go to sleep, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, the second you give up on relevance, like, life gets incredible.
The more you string this out, the more it sounds like depression.
Well, I'm sure there's a patina of depression.
Yeah,
like, it's not right. Like there isn't a thin swath of pimento depression all over this whole thing. But like, it is also, I'm very grateful.
Yeah,
for a lot of it. Like, what is the alternative? I don't need to be like out jet setting.
No,
you know what would I be doing? Like, you know, if not reading about this weirdo in bed and just being like, man, that's weird, and just feeling great. You know, it's not. I wasn't depressed in that moment at all. I was just like, man, that's fucked up. How come I haven't seen a movie about that guy? It's a great idea. That's weird. He was teaching them.
And that's the insidious nature of the true crime thing, because there's the fucked up scenario. And I'm going to ask you this, and I'm sure that somebody said, and you'll never believe what he did.
Yeah.
But I want to know, what did he do to mitigate the smell?
He mummified them.
Okay.
So he used like a salt solution. Like, he basically turned them into, is basically the butter episode of.
Right.
Tim and Eric's bedtime stories.
So he cured them.
Yes. Yeah. But they still would, he wasn't good at it.
Right.
So they still like desiccated and stuff, which is why they got the absolutely truly cursed wax masks.
Right.
Ever since reading that in Herbert West's Reanimator, the idea of like a waxen face or a wax head or a wax mask is very scary to me.
Yes.
Just as an image, like, that really captures my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, that's what you did. You can learn more about it on Wikipedia, and I love doing it on Wikipedia because you don't get that, and you'll never believe,
right?
You know, horseshit. Like, if this were on a podcast or on like a website devoted to serial killers, they would try to razzle dazzle me.
Mm-hmm.
And Wikipedia is great because it's just like, he did this, he did this, he did this, and I'm like, fuck, man.
What I want is a bullet pointed list that details this atrocity.
All we ever want is source books. It's the duck feed promise, and like, you know, Dragon magazine articles about it. Like, it's so good, man. It's such a good way to take in information. I'm not against art. I'm not against intellectualism. Like, there are a lot of intellectual pursuits I have. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of artistic pursuits I have, but when it comes time to shut down, like, it's a really nice way to shut down.
Oh yeah.
To have the simplest possible carb of fascinating information put into your body. Love it.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's the lesson, and it's something I say off and on. But boring is a luxury.
Yep. And just, it's not. It's only boring to other people. Like, I am not. Mm-hmm. I do not enjoy the feeling of being bored.
Right.
You know, it happens sometimes, but I'm not. Boring is a descriptor of that somebody else would use. It's not the emotion I'm feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, just think about it in the you know, just the. I don't know about this, but like, if you talk to somebody you haven't talked to for a while and you don't really have a story. Like, so what's been going on? Like, oh, you won't believe what, you know, the kid went into middle school this year, you know?
Yeah,
like,
well, kids are getting into art. So that's fun.
Yeah. You know, yeah. But just the like failing, you know, I get self-conscious about failing to hold up that end of the contract, you know, interpersonally, yeah. right? Just to talk with folks like, yeah, I wish I could bring you something, but also it kind of rocks that I'm in a yeah. position where that's not.
You not having anything is evidence of you self-caring.
Yes.
You know, like you're just like, yeah, I'm not, it's evidence of being self-actualized.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Good. Great feeling.
Yeah.
We solved it. This is the episode where, Tony Soprano's wife comes and shoots us both in the back of the head at the end because we've arrived. We're going to walk into the ocean like the madman from Mad Men or however that ended. Like it's time for us to become lumberjacks like Dexter. Any of the peaceful, you know, crystal blue persuasion-esque endings for our heroes as they've realized all their things and their arcs have completed.
Yep. Like, there we go. We're throwing up death flags left and right. Yeah. Ah, shit.
It's look at this boat. I can't wait to retire on it. This it would be a good last episode of After Suffering, but it's not. Not even close.
Nope.
Here's the 700 more fuckers. Can I give a quick shout out before we go?
You may.
I was on a podcast called Generation Loss, which is real fun. I talked about iHeart Huckabees.
Me.
And the hosts of that are real goofs. Mm-hmm. And similar, the reason why I bring it up on this show, as opposed to Unfilmable or WAF, is that one of the things I think that show does is it switches between goofy digression and smart points really quickly, which I like to think that we do. Mm-hmm. If not smart, we swap between serious and unserious things
quickly. Right.
There's a little bit of that to that show, a little of that energy. It was real fun. Talked about I Heart Huckabees, which is a movie that holds up. It's real good. They're doing a fun series on twee 2000s movies.
Nice.
That whole run of like, you know, Royal Tenenbaums and Garden State and stuff.
Yeah. What was the name of the show again?
Generation Loss.
Generation Loss. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Real fun. So give that a listen.
Neat.
Yeah. What can they do until next time, Cole?
Well, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv by kicking us $5 a month. You get access to a whole bunch of stuff, including two extra episodes of this show per month. And it helps us out, you know, helps us buy mystery boxes of Dragon magazine.
Yeah. So at some point I'm going to get a storage unit. Yes, that's an indulgence. It'll be an appropriately timed out treat, I promise.
Yep.
And you'll get to hear, you know, hopefully... You know, I don't find one of these mannequin children.
Yeah.
I didn't really put that together, but maybe I won't do this. it's going to be furniture or some bullshit. But how cool would it be if it was some nerd's like collection of magic cards?
It'd be not pretty good.
Valuable ones. I just want to get a bunch of Hurlum Minotaurs. What if it's 700 Hurlum Minotaurs?
Hey.
Give it to me.
But yes, or you can leave a rating or review in whatever podcast directory you got this in. If it has reviews, all of that helps. But most of all, come back next week.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Do you have a sign off one as well? I kind of set you up for the admin, but in the cadence of the sign off, so I kind of fucked up.
Yeah. No. Until next time. I don't know what to do. I want to do something with those fucked up little kids. Don't believe the corpse's lies.
Yeah, they're okay down there. You cannot bring them back to life.